I wonder if we could just slip our hands up together for just a few minutes now. Could you do that? Just raise your hands with me together. The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. So tonight, without any wrath within your heart, without any doubting within your minds, just slip your hands up to God. And let's ask God's presence here tonight. Can you do that? Father of heaven, in the wonderful name of your loving Son Jesus, I ask thee for the forgiveness of my sins, Heavenly Father. And dear God, I forgive every man in this world, Lord, wherever it might be, their trespasses against me. And therefore I ask thee to forgive me my trespasses against thee, O Heavenly Father, knowing that if we forgive not men their trespasses against us, even from our heart, if we forgive not men, then, Heavenly Father, you will not forgive our trespasses. So then tonight I ask you to forgive every trespass. And Lord, illuminate us with your great anointing and great spirit. Lord, be with us tonight. Bless every heart to listen. Everyone that's come together here, may they hear, may they listen, and may they believe, oh God. And may we say something that might be a benefit to every listening ear. God, may every heart tonight be enlarged in a great and in a mighty way. Lord, we trust that you will bless us. We trust that people will be healed and that people will be delivered in this meeting. Have your own way in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Yeah, I want to say again that we're glad to be here. Grateful to see you come out and be with us tonight. We always look forward to you coming to be with us in service. And we thank the Lord for his blessings and for his kindness. For everyone that is concerned, everyone that is genuinely interested in lost souls and the kingdom of God. You know, the one thing that we need to have at heart is the kingdom of God. We need to have a mind to work. The Bible tells us that because they had a mind to work, they built the walls back. And it takes a mind to work. You know, in the day that we're living in, it seems like it's a day of lethargy and unconcern. And people don't have a mind to do anything. They don't have a mind to fast. They don't have a mind to pray. They don't have a mind to help the needy. They don't have a mind to work. They don't have a mind of responsibility. It's just a lax, Laodicean, lukewarm age where everybody is just kind of relaxed, like, you know, and they don't want to do anything. Years ago, people, they wanted to work till they got a certain age and then they wanted to retire. But now people at 18 and 19, 20 years old, they're ready to retire. And they just can't understand why they have to work for a living and why they have to do anything. And if you give them responsibility, they're so lighthearted. It's really a terrible day. It's an awful day. Never been a day like this in the history of mankind. But I'm thankful because God has a few people that have a mind to work and a mind to be concerned. And some are really interested and going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. You know, the Bible tells us in one place, it said, ask of me the heathens, and I will give them unto you for an inheritance. And I don't know whether you've ever asked God for the heathens or not, but many times in prayer, I've asked God to give me the heathens for my inheritance. And you know, people, when you think about people, people are likened unto jewels. And then the Bible speaks of a crown, that is a crown of life. And if we ask God for people, then we win souls to God, and these become great, beautiful jewels in our crown of life. We've got a crown somewhere. This soul is going to be crowned with a crown of life. That is, eternal living is going to fill and overflow this soul. And in that eternal abode, and eternal realms of living, we'll be able to look to the right and to the left and all around us and see the sparkling, radiant jewels that are souls that are there throughout the endless ages. They're radiating with the glory of God, and they are jewels of splendor in our world of living, or our crown of life, because we won them to God. You know, the Bible speaks of saviors. I will bring saviors up upon the mount. Not one savior, but I will bring saviors in the plural. That is, every time that Israel sinned, God raised them up a savior, the Bible tells us. And it is a true fact that the Bible said that if you convert a soul, then know that you have saved a soul from hell. So then you become that man's savior, and there are many saviors that God has put in the body. You can be a savior tonight and save a soul from hell by converting the soul unto Jesus Christ. Thus, when we collectively do this, being bone of his bone and being flesh of his flesh, we have as one great unit, one great body, one great savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, one humanity to the Almighty God, the Heavenly Father, and have saved the souls from a burning lake of fire. Not you, but Christ within you. Not I that liveth, but Christ within me that liveth. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. You know, we've lost our life. You lost your life. I lost my life because of sin and because of what Adam did. And tonight, this life that you have, it is not your life, because that life is past and gone. But if you are born again, you are a new creature with a new life. You're no longer who you one time were, but you are the body of the Lord Jesus. You lost your identity in death because of sin. And today it's not you living, but it's Christ that's living. And the life you now live, you live by the Son of God. You're bought with a price. You belong to him. You should glorify him within your body, within your heart. I want to say again that we're grateful to have you here with us. We're thankful for the presence of God, and we're thankful for the people that have come out from time to time. We preach to a few hundred people here. We'd like for it to have been a few thousand people, but we've preached to a few hundred people. We've had quite a few people coming in under the tent, and some of them has come back, some of them has not come back, but at least we preach the gospel to them. And perhaps some of them will be back before the meeting is over. I see some of them coming night after night. But we preached to a few hundred people here, and it's been wonderful that we were able to share with them the great enthusiasm and zeal that God has put in our heart for his wonderful kingdom and for his people. I want to talk with you a little bit tonight. If you've got your Bibles, we'll read just a little bit together. All right, if you'll turn over to Revelation 10. The other night we spoke just a little bit concerning this, and then we left off with it, and we went to another subject. There are some wonderful things in the Word of God. How do you know that the Word of God is filled with great excitement and adventure? There's great revelation in the world of spirit. When I was in the world of the natural, I used to think it was exciting. It seemed to me that there were so many things to do in the natural world that it was so exciting to me. And then one day after I became converted and I left the natural world, I entered into the spiritual world, and then I suddenly realized that that is the world of excitement. The great world of excitement is that great spiritual realm that's beyond the veil. And when I entered into that world, I have spent years in research and years venturing out into faith. And I have spent many hours, exciting hours and moments with the Lord Jesus as he unveiled the great mysteries of God. And tonight, My cup runs over, and my heart is literally filled to the brim with the great mysteries and revelation of Jesus. If I started preaching here in this area on the mysteries of God, it would take me an entire year just to get across a few things that he has shared with me concerning the deep mysteries and revelation of the Son of God. So then, in a revival of 8 to 10 days, we hardly scratch the surface, but we are still excited over what little we can say in sharing with them, perhaps, that do not understand the mysteries of the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us to pray that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation. That is, that our eyes of understanding may become enlightened in the things of God, that we might be able to comprehend the heights, and that we might be able to comprehend the depths, and that we might be able to comprehend the width, and that we might be able to comprehend the length. God wants us to do this, for he tells us in his word, he said, great is the mystery of God. Great is the mystery of godliness, or great is the mystery of God. It is such a great mystery. And Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries of God. Now, when it comes to salvation, it's very plain, it's very simple, and God has made it so that all we have to do is repent of our sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But when it comes to our growth and the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, as to whether we're going to be a king over there in that world, or whether we're going to be a ruler over 5 cities or 10 cities, or whether our treasure is going to be greater than somebody else's, then it's a matter of growth, it's a matter of submission, it's a matter of hunger and thirst, it's a matter of submitting ourselves and driving in with a great hunger and concern as to how perfect we can be in his sight and how much we can do for him, or how willing we are to be what he would like for us to be. So it's a wonderful, exciting moment. It's a wonderful, exciting time. Just before I read this, I'd like to say these few words. The Bible said that it pleased God that in the fullness of time that God should gather all things in heaven and in earth into his Son. And we find that at Calvary the fullness of time came. Well, the Bible tells us that in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son. He was made of a woman, or born of a woman, and made under the law. At this particular time, the Son of God came forth. It was the fullness of time. And Peter tells us at that time, said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, because the fullness of time had set in. And sure enough, the Son came forth as he said it would be in the fullness of time. And God from Calvary on has refused to receive anybody in any manner except through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. From Calvary on, everything is gathered within through the name of Jesus, or under the blood of Jesus, or into the body of Jesus, as it was with the Ark of Noah. And God doesn't hear anybody outside of that which that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's gathered all things into the Lord Jesus, thus sanctifying, justifying, and glorifying us by the finished works of Jesus at Calvary and by the wonderful things that he done through the predestinated efforts of the Almighty God in making us complete in him. All right, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Revelation 10 and we'll read just a little bit here in the scripture. Let me say again that I appreciate those that are here and those that have come from time to time to be with us. And I trust that from night to night you've received something of God. And I trust that you will continue to receive something of God. In this 10th chapter, let's just read together, can we? I've not read this chapter since I've been here, but I've made reference to it one night. So let's just read together. Chapter 10 of the book of Revelation, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. That's reading the entire chapter of Revelation 10. I want you to notice that it is in the eighth chapter that this great silence took place that we spoke of the other night. Now we spoke of 30 minutes of silence in heaven, which 30 minutes took place in Revelation 8. You notice in the first chapter of Revelation, it speaks like this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. I said the other night that we are having reference to the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice something tonight with me, if you will. We are referring to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whereas, the first thing that we would think is that this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and there is no more. Because the Bible says that if any man shall add unto this book, the plagues of this book shall be added unto him. And if any man take away from this book, his part shall be taken out of the book of life. Therefore, we have a sharp warning of God that we cannot add to it and we cannot take away from it. Thus, we began to think that the revelation of Jesus Christ is concealed just to this book. But it did not say that. It just tells us that what is in this book concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ, that we cannot add to it, nor we cannot take away from it. But so far as the revelation of Jesus Christ, if you will check, you will find that Paul the Apostle said that God made known unto him the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the revelation of Jesus Christ covers many things from the time that God began to speak to his people until the present day that we are living in. Whereas it is a true fact that every revelation, everything that God has, will fit itself upon the foundation of this Bible or this Word. I say this from night to night, and I want you to think about it because I believe this. I have been a Bible scholar for many years. I've studied the Bible. I have read it very thoroughly. I have read it very carefully. As I said the other night, from cover to cover and from cover to cover and from cover to cover. Through the New Testament many times, even to taking the four Gospels and getting down on my knees and reading them through, and then going back, getting the entire New Testament and reading it through on my knees to find out for sure
that what I was reading that I understood. To be careful to observe every word, every jot, every tittle. And I've gone back numbers of times with this Bible in checking the former translations or checking the Greek or the Hebrew or comparing notes with such people as had done that to find out for sure, to make sure that I did not misinterpret God's word, that I should have the wrath of God on me in the day of the judgment, or that I should cause someone to go astray or go in error and have them to be lost in the day of judgment. I have fasted, I prayed, I wept before God. I have literally got down in the corners or in the basement away by myself and slobber like a dog in prayer and in seeking God and crying to be sure. I'd say, God, I cannot afford to mislead anybody. I cannot afford to make a mistake. I cannot afford to go wrong, because it can cost me my soul and it can cost me the soul or somebody else their soul. This does not mean that I don't make mistakes. I have tried from the bottom of my heart. God bear witness whether I be a liar. The Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. I have tried for many long years to walk perfect in the sight of God, not to make one bobble, not in my daily deeds, nor in my daily doings, nor in my daily words, nor in my thoughts, nor in the intents of my thoughts. And I have prayed to God for the forgiveness for the intents of my heart and asked God to forgive me for the very reflex of my mind, that it be perfect before Him in every way. And God has been good to me and He's kept me. Again, I say this does not mean that I'm different in the sense that I don't make mistakes. I stumble, I stagger. I mumble, I grumble. I do everything everybody else does in the sense of stumbling and staggering through life. But brothers and sisters, it is without a will. It is without a desire. It is without any intentions. All that I do, I try my very best to do what God wants me to do in every way. Now, I want to be like this because I must have the understanding of God. I must have the knowledge of God. You may doubt me. You may take me apart in your mind. You may scrutinize me. You may accuse me. You may say things. But it doesn't matter to me. As long as I please God, as long as I know that God is pleased with me. The Bible said that no man can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. If you're God's elect tonight and you're doing your best, there is not a living human being on the face of the earth that can lay one tiny thing to your charge. It is God that justifies. It is God that has saved you, that has delivered you from your sins. It is God that has sanctified you by the faith of the Son of God. It is God that has justified, sanctified, and the Bible said, perfected forever. I am not a preacher that believes in a daily perfection. I believe that we ought to daily perfect ourselves in the sense of every effort, of self-denial, of trying to live better. But I understand of God that it has nothing to do with my perfection in the sight of God, not one thing. I cannot perfect myself. I do not believe that the ministry is here to perfect the church, because I believe that if the blood of Jesus Christ was not sufficient to perfect the church, that somebody like Brother Pike or somebody that calls himself a preacher, that they're certainly not able to do it. I believe that what the Bible says, that God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And the Bible said God has sanctified us once and for all by the blood of His Son, of the offering up of the body of Jesus at Calvary. God has made the church perfect, without spot, without blemish, and without wrinkle. And I said the other night that even in 96 A.D., when John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, even then the Holy Spirit spoke and said, the church hath made herself ready, or the bride hath made herself ready. She was already without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. John saw on the Isle of Patmos one thing. That was the revealing of the Son of God. That was the revelation of Jesus Christ. John wrote about Calvary, and when John saw Calvary, he said, it is finished. The bride hath made herself ready. You say, why then did God wait? If the bride was ready back there, why did God have to wait? He had to wait because Brother Pike had never yet been born into the world. He had to wait because some of you memberships of the bride had never yet been born into the world. But in the predestinated work of God and the foreknowledge of God, He had already perfected forever them that are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And He's waiting for that last member to come into the world that they might have access to this great, wonderful blessing of God. That's why the gospel must be preached in all of the world for a witness before the end can come. We must hear the gospel. We must believe on this perfection. We must believe on this Jesus Christ. We must be moved by this Holy Spirit. We must be filled with this great Spirit to seal our spirit unto the day of the redeeming of this body. All right. So then tonight, I stand looking at a perfect church. I stand looking at a church that's ready for the coming of the Lord. Why then, Brother Pike, do you think that the ministry is here? Paul said, we are helpers of your faith. He said, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. We are here to preach the gospel that you might hear and know your benefits, that you might hear, understand, and claim your benefits, that you might hear the word of God and the faith that cometh by the hearing of knowledge of those benefits, that you might lay hold on those benefits through that faith. Therefore, we are here to perfect your faith. That is to tell you about your wonderful benefits, to tell you about this glorious Heavenly Father and tell you what His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, did in bringing many sons to perfection, so that you might enjoy the great benefits and the triumph, victory, and power over Lucifer, the accuser of the brethren, that you might rise up in power and in faith, that you might have the rapturing faith that you need to bring you into the translation of the Almighty God. Friend, let me tell you, I am not waiting to be translated into the kingdom of God. I have already been translated into the kingdom of God. For the Bible said, God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom has been preached, and men are pressing their way into the kingdom of God. Even though the kingdom of God today suffers violence, in that the kingdom of God is in the hearts of mankind. Therefore, the Bible says that the kingdom of God suffers violence at the hand of men. The people of this world, the system of this world, the ecclesiasticals of this world, those that seem to be somewhat in the world, those that are filled with knowledge in the world, those that have money and prestige and power in the world, they've tried to monopolize off of the church of the living God, and they've tried to force the people to do those things that's called the church to go into error. And the kingdom of God within you has suffered violence by the viciousness of those wicked men. But at the same time, God hath delivered us. So, beloved friend, tonight, we are not subject to the things of this world. We are not subject to the vanities of this world. Only in the sense that we refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. Thus are we made subject to vanity. But if we believe in Christ Jesus, then we are not of the world. You love Jesus? I'm not of the world tonight. If I was of the world tonight, the world would love me. But the Bible says the world will hate you because it hated me first. But it said if you was of the world, then the world would love you. Now do you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that you're not in the world? I am not in the world. For the Bible said, God hath chosen me out of the world. Therefore, who must I believe? What my human mind tells me or what God tells me? If I'm going to believe what my human mind tells me, then that means if I get a bodily affliction, I've got to accept the bodily affliction. I've got to take what medical science says about it. But if I'm going to believe God's word, I'm going to call it a lying vanity, because God's word said, by stripes I'm healed. Jesus said, it's finished. Therefore, all things are lying vanities. Jonah looked at the belly of the whale. He said, it's a lying vanity. Or the belly of the big fish, as we call it. So then tonight, I am not of this world. God has chosen me out of this world. Where then are you at, brother? I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Until the time of the restitution, all the restoring of all things, all the bringing forth of the millennium, until the redemption of the body. You that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. You are not of the world, for God has chosen you out of the world. He hath translated you into this marvelous kingdom, and you are hid with God, with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Now, let's look at it for just a minute. You say, Brother Pye, I'm not anymore where the trees are. I'm not anymore where the brooks are. I'm not anymore where the ocean is. I'm not anymore under the stars. You say that I'm not in this world. Brother, I want you to know something, that the heavens and the earth is a different thing altogether. The Bible said God created the heavens and God created the earth. Isn't that right? So then God did all of this, and God created the seas. But when you talk about the world, you're speaking of a system. You're speaking of that which Lucifer has control of. You're speaking of the societies of this world, the great businesses of this world, the great wealth of this world, the frolic of this world. You're speaking of those things that pertain to sports, the things of this world. You're speaking of all of the greatness of this world, the fabulous things of mankind. That is the world that belongs to Lucifer. And he said it is his to give to whomsoever he will. But the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to God. The earth remaineth. One generation comes, goes, another comes, but the earth abideth forever. Did you know that it's the same earth here that was in the days of Noah? And though the world passed away, yet the earth remaineth. And did you know that according to the Bible, when this world passes away, that the great millennium earth is going to be the same earth that you're standing on right here? It'll just be the great restored earth back to its originality of the garden. So then we're not in the world tonight. God has chosen us out of the world. We are sitting together in those beautiful heavenly places. Come out from among them, be a separate people, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So then, children of God, tonight, we are a mighty people. We are not to be compared with the people of the world. You understand what I'm saying? You should never let the world compare you with themselves. You should never let the world number you with themselves. You should let them know that you are different, that you are set apart, that you belong to God. And though you are sanctified by the blood of Jesus so far as your salvation, and though you are perfected forever, not from one revival to another, but forever by the blood of Jesus, and though you are without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, yet you should by all means sanctify yourselves daily, so far as the putting away of the filth of the flesh, in the sense of making yourself more honorable in the sight of God, so far as usage and putting works behind your faith, to where you can lay hold on the sanctifying faith of Jesus Christ in a greater way and in a greater measure for greater service unto your master. Now, it is a truth fact that you are a great and a mighty people. You love Jesus. You are a great people tonight. You are a people such as no other people in the world. There is no people like God's people. You know the difference? You are God's. I've said this a number of nights, trying to get it over to you. Ye are gods. Don't compare yourself to human beings, because ye are gods. The Bible said ye shall die like men. Because of the lack of knowledge, you'll taste death like a man, but you're God's. Now I want you to listen just a few minutes tonight and see if I'm telling you the truth. Jesus stood over there. Jesus had done many mighty miracles. He had healed the people. He had done great things. And they said, Lord, for what? Or they said to him, we're going to stone you. And the Lord said, for what good work do you stone me? What good work do you stone me? Because I opened the blind eyes, because I unstopped the deaf ears, because I made the lame to walk. They said, for none of these things do we stone you. For what good work do you stone me? They said, we stone you because you being a man. Now notice this. They said, you are a man. He didn't deny that. The Bible calls him the man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. You know, a lot of people say, don't follow a man. You ever heard that old theme? Don't follow a man. The devil's got a little theme he goes around with. He'll say, don't follow a man. Don't follow a man. But if you listen to the man that's talking to you, you'll be following that man. And if you don't listen to the man talking to you, and if you're the man that's doing the talking, then you're following that man that's doing the talking. You're leaning to your own understanding when God said, lean not to your own understanding. But I want you to know you need to follow a man called Christ Jesus. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The devil would love to do away with the overseers of the church, wouldn't he? He'd love to do away with the ministry of the church. He'd love to tell you that the Bible is an idol and do away with the Bible. He'll do anything to do away with God's oversight and do away with God's word. But brother, let me tell you again tonight, follow God, follow the ministry, listen to the word of God, obey the word of God, and if anybody's got a revelation and it don't fit the word of God, throw it out and reject it. Withdraw yourself from every brother that walks disorderly and walk according to the word of God. For faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. He said, for what good work do you stone me? For a good work, I don't stone you. But you being a man, make yourself gods. Now listen, you make yourself God. You being men, you make yourself gods. You make yourself gods. Let's make this real clear again tonight. Being a man, you make yourself God. You make yourself God. Talking about the mysteries of God. Great is the mystery now. You make yourself God. Now notice this. The only way you're going to get into Godship, the only way you're going to get into heaven, the only way you're going to get healed, the only way you're going to get perfect, the only way you're going to be blessed, the only way you're going to have prosperity, the only way you're going to get anything from God is to hear the word and believe it. Because it's a transition of faith. You're moving from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from understanding to understanding. That's the only way you're going to get out of here or get into another dimension or into another world. So they said, you being a man, you make yourself God. You make yourself God. Remember, your believing is powerful, folks. You make yourself God. You being a man, you make yourself God. All right, you make yourself God. For this we stone you. Jesus said, is it not written in the scriptures? Is it not written in the Old Testament? Is it written in the book of Psalms that I have called ye gods? Your gods. Where then are we standing in the presence of the Lord tonight? How then could Jesus do what he did at Calvary for us and say that you have passed from death unto life? You have passed from death unto life. How then could he do that? Because we are not under condemnation. Death comes from condemnation. I was alive without the law, Paul said. But when the law came, sin revived. And I died. And that which I knew was ordained unto life, I found to be unto death. Because the weakness of my flesh allowed Lucifer to bring condemnation in and kill my faith and my confidence in the righteousness of it. Therefore, sin getting its strength by the law, I died. When I heard of the greatness of God and the qualities of God and the abilities of God and that which could bring me into life, I said, my God, I despair. I cannot perform it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body? Paul said. He said, I thank God that God made a body in the likeness of Adam and nailed it to the tree to get rid of that sinful image that was causing him problems, that was standing between me and the glorious image of the Son of God. Tonight we're his bone, we're his flesh, we're his body. Tonight we're perfect, we're the perfect Jesus in the earth. We're the perfect Christ in the earth. Tonight you're God's. You're God's beloved friend. You're God's. Why is it that we can escape death tonight? Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. That is, we don't have to go into the grave. We don't have to go into the dirt. They don't have to throw the dirt in our faith. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Jesus said, I go to wake Lazarus because he is asleep. Paul said, but I got some good news, glad tidings of great joy. You don't have to go to sleep. You don't have to go to sleep. He preached to them all night long. One of them went to sleep and they took him up dead. He had to have a resurrection. But them others bypassed death and went right on to the morning. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to sleep. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. But he said there's going to be a change from glory to glory. From this grace to grace. From this wonderful revelation to revelation. We're going to be transformed, Paul said, by the renewing of our minds. God hath translated our spirits into the marvelous kingdom of the great God of spirits. And we are sealed by that Holy Spirit in our inner spirit to where we are without spot, wrinkle, and blemish until the day that this body is redeemed, for we wait for the redemption of our body. All right, let's listen at it just for a few minutes now. Where am I? The Bible says I am without spot. It says that I as an individual, you as an individual, you as a sovereignty, you keep yourself and the evil one toucheth you not. From the time you're born into the kingdom of God, Lucifer has never touched your soul, not one time. If he'd ever touched your soul one time, God would have rejected it. I said the other night, people will say, well, we're the bride of Christ. We've got to get cleaned up. We've got to get rid of all this evil we've been doing. My dear brother, the bride of Christ hasn't done any evil. The bride of Christ don't have any spots. The Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin. God's bride does not sin. There is not one spot. If she had one spot, if she had one blemish, she wouldn't be the bride of Christ. He that is born of God cannot sin. It did not say he might not sin, or if he struggled to keep himself, he would not sin. It said he cannot sin because he is born of God. The seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You say, but you're backslid on God. God said, I will heal your backslidings. Where did he heal our backslidings? Over at Calvary he healed our backslidings. And he said, whoa, unto the backslider, for I'm married unto you. Do you think God would be married unto an unclean thing? Now, listen, are we clean in his sight? So very perfect in his sight tonight. You're God's. You're God's. I said the other night, doesn't a dog bring dogs into the world? When cats multiply, isn't there more cats born into the world? When elephants and lions and tigers, when birds or whatever, when they mate together and they reproduce and they multiply, don't the elephant bring forth elephants? Don't the lion bring forth lions? Doesn't the giraffe bring forth giraffes? Doesn't a God bring forth gods? If we're born of God tonight, we're sons of God, John said. Doesn't a God bring forth gods? How can you be born of God and be something else, beloved friend? You're gods. John said, beloved, you're the sons of God. Could a son of an elephant, as we would say, be anything but an elephant? Could a son of a dog be anything but a dog? How can you say that a son of a cat could be anything but a cat? And turn around and say a son of God is something altogether different from a God. How can you think like that, folks? So then tonight we are gods. He has reproduced gods, and here's the beauty of it. That's why we have escaped death. That's why Paul said we don't have to sleep. Oh, how beautiful. the mysteries of God at the sounding of the trump. How beautiful it is. Do we have to die? No, we don't have to die. Do we have to sleep? No, we don't have to sleep. Why is it that we don't have to die? Can gods die? Can gods die? Gods cannot die. How can gods die? If you die, you couldn't be a god. You understand what I'm saying? You say, but Brother Pike, you said you're gods, but you'll die like men. Jesus said sleep. There's a difference between sleep and dying, beloved friend. Now look at it for just a minute. Are we gods? We are gods. Do we live forever? We live forever. Have we passed from death unto life? We have passed from death unto life. We shall never come into condemnation because we are passed from death unto life. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the Bible said, ye are not in the flesh, but ye are in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you, then you are in the Spirit. Therefore we have passed from death because we passed from the flesh. We have passed from the man. The man is flesh. The flesh is man. There is appointed unto man once to die. It is appointed unto the flesh once to die. After that, then the judgment. But brother, we pass from the flesh. We pass from the man. We pass from death. We pass from condemnation. We moved into life. God prepared a body in the image of sinful flesh. And he condemned sin and death. There at Calvary, done away with it in the behalf of everyone that will believe in the sanctifying blood of Jesus Christ. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. There is no application of that blood to an individual unless he's baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they said, Paul, repent of your sins. Be baptized. Wash away your sins by calling on the name of the Lord. He certainly did not mean that everybody that said, Lord, Lord, would be saved. For the Bible said, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall be saved. That's not the kind of calling on Jesus that he's talking about. But said, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. Now, am I delivered from the flesh? Are you delivered from the flesh? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment, beloved friend. But then, are you a man? If you are a man, then you need to die because you have an appointment with death. But are you a man? We are gods. Is it therefore appointed unto gods to die? Gods cannot die. God, you do not find anywhere in the Bible where it says there's an appointment unto gods once to die. It says there's an appointment unto man once to die. That appointment unto that man part that I used to be, I made at Calvary through Jesus Christ. And Paul said, reckon yourself to be dead but the body of the Lord Jesus unto sin, and alive unto God. He dieth unto sin once, he dieth to die no more. He is resurrected to be bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh, that he might please the everlasting Father, that is, of his own Son. So then it is appointed unto man once to die. Yes. After that, the judgment. But it is appointed unto sons of God to die. No, sons of God cannot die. You say, Brother Pike, why is it that sons of God cannot die? First of all, they're not in the flesh. They're in the Spirit. And the Bible said in heaven or in the Spirit, you're equal to angels. And it said angels cannot die. Now, therefore, what do we say to this? Am I really free from death? Can I really die? What causes death? Death comes by sin. How do you know that the sting of death is sin? How do you know that that sting that kills is sin? That sin is a stinger that kills. That death has a stinger called sin. And it plunges that stinger into you and it kills you. Is that right? And because you sin, you die. Because the Bible said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But beloved, how in the world can you die if you can't sin? The Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin. He keepeth himself from the evil one, toucheth him not. How then can you die if you cannot sin? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? If there is no sting of death, then death has no victory. It has no sting, sin is gone. If death hath no sting, then the grave holds no victory. All of our lives we're subject to bondage, to fear of death, until we learned that we could not die. Isn't that right? We learned that we could not die. Let's look at it just for a few minutes now. Brother Pike, when you say we pass from death unto life, are you trying to tell us that they're not going to put us in a coffin? No, I'm trying to tell you that the death of the soul. Now listen, the death of the soul, which is called the second death, that you cannot die the second death. You cannot die the death of the soul. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Abraham's faith was imputed unto him as righteousness. We are justified by faith of Jesus Christ. I'll look at it for just a minute. The second death, you cannot die. Your soul is eternally alive forever. Brother, if you're not born again, when you die, you're dead. Your soul died. What is death? Separation from eternal life. When your soul is separated from the great Spirit of God, which is life, you are dead, eternally dead. Twice dead and plucked up by the root. Is that right? He is speaking of the second death. You pass from death unto life. You cannot die the death of the soul. Can a man then die and be put in a coffin and still have eternal life? He most assuredly can. He can sleep. That is not death. He said, Lazarus sleepeth. I go to awake him. I go to awake him. And them that are asleep with Christ, he'll bring with him when he comes. But can you go to sleep and still not die the death of the soul? You can. But should we die the death of the body? Absolutely not, the sons of God. If you're going to be in the world and you've never been born again, then you will die. You should die. It's an appointment because you rejected life. But my brother, sister, you should not die and be put in a coffin. You say, well, Brother Pike, why is it that we die and why is it that you're going to die? Well, in the first place, you don't know whether I'm going to die or not and they're going to put me in a coffin. I don't know whether you're going to die or not and they're going to put you in a coffin. But I know that Paul said this, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all be put in a coffin. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed, according to Thessalonians, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible, from that terrestrial to that great celestial body. Should we then die in the body? Absolutely not. Why? You say, well, Brother Pike, everybody has to die. Then tell me, why did Enoch not die? Somebody would say, well, he's got to come back and die. I said the other night, there's a teaching in the land that Enoch must come back and die. But that teaching is false. The Bible said in the New Testament that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. The Bible said that he was translated by faith that he should not see death. Why should Enoch die? Enoch was never under the law to start with. Enoch was never under the penalty of death. He was never under the law. Abraham, 430 years before the law ever came, received justification by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said the Scripture, God the Word, before was ever ascribing, appeared unto him. And the faith that Abraham had in it brought him righteousness and kept him back there and renewed his youth and renewed Sarah's youth. So that Enoch died, as you would say? No, Enoch did not die. Enoch was translated that he should not die. He not only was translated that he should not die, but the Bible said he was translated that he should not see death. If Enoch comes back and Enoch has to die, then the Bible is of no value to us, because the Scripture is broken and the Bible tells us the Holy Scripture cannot be broken. I say again, will Moses come back and die? He will. Will Elijah come back and die? He certainly will. The two prophets of Revelation must come back, and they must be in the tribulation, and they must die. Why must they die? Because they were under the law. And everybody that's fallen from grace is under the law, and the transgression of the law is sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Therefore, they must come back and pay the penalty of death. But, beloved friend, let me tell you something tonight. Enoch being the seventh from Adam, being a type of the church, today we are in the same condition and position that Enoch was in. Enoch was before the law, therefore the law had no power over him. He was justified by faith and translated by faith, and here we are after the law, and the law has been folded up and laid away, and we're in the same position that Enoch was, and we can be translated tonight by faith that we should not see death. That was Paul's mystery. Paul was the one that spoke about Enoch being translated by faith that he should not see death. That was Paul's mystery. He discovered that we are not under the law, therefore we do not have to pay the penalty of death, and we as the generation of today have the power to believe God. If we can believe God to restore a withered arm, if we can believe God to heal a sick body, if we can believe God to save a soul, why can't we believe God to keep us from dying? Somebody said, well, you just don't do that. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. They had power over death. The Bible said the last enemy to be conquered is death. But the Bible said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. How do you know that death is the enemy of God? Death is the enemy of God, beloved friend. You don't have to die tonight. You don't have to die tonight. A lot of things I'd like to say, but we've took a long time here tonight. But you don't have to die tonight. You're free from death. You're free from the law of sin and death. You don't have to die tonight. Wouldn't you like to live forever? If you've never made that great commitment unto God, then you need to make that commitment tonight. I want you to stand with me, if you will. And at the sounding of the last trump, the mysteries of God should be finished. Even as he hath declared unto his prophets, his servants the prophets. Revelation 10 and 7. He said, and in the days of the voice, when he begins to sound, when he said the seventh angel shall sound. Revelation 11, 15, the Bible said, and the seventh angel sounded. And the seventh angel sounded. And tomorrow night I'll have to get into a few things that happened when he sounded. Revelation 11, 15, and the seventh angel sounded. The seventh angel sounded. So then it is a great moment. It is a great hour. Never been a day like this in the history of mankind. This is that great moment of expectation. This is that great thrilling moment of God experience. And of the greatness and mightiness of Almighty God. You love Jesus tonight? I want you to lift your hands up with me while they play a little something on the musical instruments. We're living in a day of sadness and sorrow and bewilderment. We're living in a day of discontentment, beloved friend. We're living in a day when the husband doesn't love the wife anymore. When the wife doesn't love the husband anymore. When other men are more outstanding in the eyes of the wife than the husband. And when other women are more outstanding in the eyes of the husband than the wife. A day when children dishonor the parents. A time when there's no honor to the minister. The Bible said concerning the ministry, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. You know, it's a terrible day. If you praise the ministry anymore, in the day we're living in, they'll have all kind of things to say about it. And they'll say you're giving the glory of God to him. Not understanding their foolish mind being darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Not realizing that God has always esteemed his word, always esteemed the ministry. Even in the days of Moses, when they grumbled against him and he said, come over here, I want to talk with you. He said, is there any man in all the land like my man Moses? He said, there's none. He's a perfect man. When he said in the days of John the Baptist, you call him a prophet. Jesus said, I'll have you to know my testimony of him is more than a prophet. Paul said to esteem the minister very highly. Give him not just honor, but double honor because he is the laborer in the Lord. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, they think too highly of some ministers. Paul said, if it had been possible, you'd have plucked out your eyes and give them to me. And then on the other hand, he said, esteem them very highly because they are the ministers of God. Render unto all their needs, seeing that they give themselves continually unto this thing. Because the Bible said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God care for ox? Or did he say this altogether for our sake, that he that laboreth, oh, he's the one that doing the reaping out there, that he should be partakers of the harvest? Now then, when we look at these things, we say, but Brother Pike, when you call people gods, and when you speak of the ministry so highly, you give them God's glory. But listen, beloved friend, Brother Pike cannot give the minister God's glory tonight. God said, my glory I will not give unto another. I cannot give the minister God's glory tonight. I cannot give the church God's glory tonight. I cannot do that because God has already done it. God has already given me his glory. He's already given the church his glory. He said, Father, glorify these with the same glory that I had with thee before the world ever was. God is the one that gave us his glory. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, the Bible said he will not give his glory to another. I agree, but we are not another. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We're his body tonight. We are the sons of God tonight. We're the church of the living God tonight. He hath glorified us with the same glory that he had with the Father before the world ever was. So then tonight, we are a fortunate people. We are a blessed people. We are a great and a mighty people. And tonight we belong to our darling Heavenly Father. And the blood of his darling Son has been shed in our behalf. If he so loved us while we were yet in our sins, that he gave us the darling Son of God to die for us, the best that heaven can afford. Now that we're trying to do the best that we can, beloved friend, would he withhold any good thing from them that walk upright before him? I shall withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before me. I will make all of their beds in the time of their sickness. I will bless them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I have given you all things that pertain unto life. I would that ye prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I will give you the desires of your heart if you will delight yourself in me. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, to withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before God. Delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Ask what you will, I'll grant it unto you. Decree a thing in your heart and it shall come to pass. Command thou me concerning the works of my hands, Jesus said. Tonight, where are we standing? Where are we standing tonight? Where are we standing tonight? And at the sounding of the last trump, the mysteries of God should be finished. Behold, I show you mystery. But at the last trump, it will be unveiled. At the last trump, you will be partakers of the benefit. Behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. Be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from mortality to immortality. Let's sing this little chorus together while they play on the instruments. We sing this little song every once in a while. The title of it is, We'll Give the Glory to Jesus. Let's sing it together, can we? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Let's try it again now. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. How do you believe we ought to give all the glory to Jesus? Let's sing it again. Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give All the glory to Jesus, and we'll sing of his wonderful love. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love him tonight? Hallelujah, to give all the glory to Jesus. To know that when he hung at Calvary and said, Father, it is finished, that we can add nothing else to it. It is completed. Tonight we must believe it, beloved friend. We must believe it tonight. We must accept it tonight. We must act upon it tonight. Wherever you set your foot, I'll give it to you. Have you tried believing? Have you tried believing? You might have tried everything else, but have you tried believing? You say, I've tried praying. That's good. You should. The minister of God, the Bible teaches, should pray, and you should pray. The Bible said, meditate in his laws day and night. He that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. You say, I have tried fasting. That's good. The Bible said the minister of God should fast often. For this kind cometh about only by prayer and fasting. But the Bible said, when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. You can pray all you want to. You can fast all you want to. You can sacrifice all you want to. Go to church all you want to. Give all you want to. Try to live holy as much as you can. But brother and sister, unless you believe in the word of God and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you're not going to draw any of the benefits. God said concerning the Jews, you've got a zeal, and the zeal of thine own doings, your house has eaten me up. The church world today has got a zeal, but that zeal of programs and parties and sports and everything else has literally eaten the Lord Jesus Christ up, and there's no room in the sanctuary for him anymore. Jesus went into the temple and he overturned the money tables and he popped the whip and he drove the money changers out and said, it is written in the word of God that my Father's house should be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves and a place of money changers. It looks like all ministers know to do today is to take an offering. That's all they care about. Or they've made it a den of thieves. And the Bible said Lucifer's a thief. He cometh. He's a robber. He's a thief. He's a killer. He comes but to steal the virtue, to steal the life, to steal the peace, to steal the happiness, to steal everything that God's given you. But you're children of God tonight. Try believing. Utilize your ability in God. Try faith tonight. Let's sing this little chorus, Sweep Over My Soul. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, oh sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, for I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I want you to sing it with me again now. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, yet in Jesus I am safe evermore. While they're playing tonight, I want you to gather around the altar again. I want you to come up here with me again tonight. Gather around the altar. Come on, folks. Come up here tonight. Let's get right with God. If you're not right with God, let's get right with God. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith tonight. We may have convictions tonight. We may have confidence in our convictions. We may have confidence in what somebody's taught us. We may have confidence in the religious activities of our past life. But tonight we need to examine ourselves and see if what we've been believing is the Word of God. See if our conviction is in the Word of God tonight. See if what you've been believing in the Word of God tonight. See if it's what somebody has taught you, some minister has told you, or some individual has tried to tell you. See if it's God's word tonight. And in the last days they shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared by a hot iron. But tonight you don't have to follow a doctrine of a devil. You don't have to follow your own understanding. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You don't have to lean to your own understanding tonight. All you've got to do is trust in the mind of God tonight. Don't trust in your understanding, that old carnal mind of yours. You're born with it from your birth. That old carnal mind is deceitful, it's evil. Lucifer uses it to kill. Lucifer uses it to destroy with. Tonight, forsake your own carnal mind, your own carnal way of life. Forsake your carnal doings tonight. Forsake your own ideas. Forsake your own opinions. Forsake your own convictions tonight. Get on the Word of God tonight. Find the Word of God tonight. See if the Word of God is with you tonight. I want you to lift your hands up with me tonight for just a moment. I want to pray with you tonight. Father of heaven, in the wonderful name of the Son of God, as I felt your wonderful spirit again tonight, I ask thee the forgiveness of my sins, Heavenly Father, by the blood of your darling Son, Jesus. I ask thee to bless me and sanctify me anew in your great Holy Spirit. Oh God, and endow me with the power of service. And dear God, I ask you to speak over the audience tonight. May you heal tonight, Jesus. May your great spirit tonight sweep over the audience and heal tonight. May every yoke be broken and every unclean spirit be taken away. And dear God, may every trouble, every problem, every heartache tonight be gone. And may these people receive deliverance. Father, you said whoever we bless would be blessed. Whoever we curse would be cursed. Whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. As the Father has sent thee, Jesus, you said, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. And oh, Heavenly Father, tonight in Jesus' name, I ask you to take away these sins of the people tonight. Through the name of Jesus, I remit the sins of every true believer in the Word tonight. I remit their sins by your power and authority in your name tonight, Jesus. And I speak healing to these people tonight. And I speak deliverance to these people tonight according to their faith and confidence in the Word of God that we preach to them tonight. Father, I ask you to heal tonight. And I feel you healing already. I ask you to heal tonight. I ask you to move tonight. I ask you to touch these people tonight in the wonderful name of the lovely Son of God. And I feel you doing it, Jesus. And I feel you doing it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? Not one night have we personally ministered to anybody. We prayed for you from night to night and felt God heal, and I feel God healing again tonight. I feel a spirit. But tonight, if you want a personal touch from God and you want us to lay hands on you, I want you to come right along up here and we'll take a minute or two tonight and we'll pray for you personally. You want us to lay hands on you? I want these ministers over here that love God, that believe in healing. I want you to come out here and we're going to pray for these people. We haven't prayed, not one night have we laid hands on the people. But tonight we're going to lay hands on the people and we're going to pray for the people tonight. Tonight, tomorrow night, if the Lord's will, we're going to lay hands on the people. And Sunday night, we're going to lay hands on the people. And you ministers that believe in healing, and you ministers that believe in deliverance, you know the only way you can make me believe that you believe in it is to come up here and pray with us. If you really believe in it, the Bible said, show me your faith by your works. Show me what you believe tonight by what you put forth effort to do. And then I can believe in what you say. Otherwise, I cannot believe in it. So tonight as we pray, we're going to go down the line and we're going to pray for these people. And as we pray for them tonight, you're going to pray with us. All right. He's going to pray with us. All right. Let's lay hands on this brother tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, Ramanda Rianda Ramo Shida Barianda Rabo Sanda Ramasida Baranda Rabasaya. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord, heal this body, strengthen Brother Sam. Dear God, you've seen him stand up, Lord, for a number of years now and try to carry this wonderful testimony of Jesus. God, that people might believe in this area, that there is a God and a keeper of the soul. And Father, tonight, I want you to heal him. And I feel you healing him right now, Jesus. I want you to touch his body. May the Spirit of God be here tonight, Father, to heal, to break every yoke in the wonderful name of the Son of God tonight. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, I pray for this brother tonight in Jesus' name. May thy Spirit, O God, come down in a mighty way. And may he be delivered tonight by the power of the living God. Let thy Spirit, O God, enter into this body. May there be a healing. May there be a deliverance in the wonderful name of the Son of God tonight. Fathers, we pray for this brother tonight. May thy Spirit come down upon him. Lord, as these brethren believe together, heal in the name of Jesus. Forgive our sin. Heal, O God, in the name of Jesus tonight. May thy Spirit, O God, heal tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Body, oh God, in the name of Jesus, may thy Spirit tonight touch him. May the power of God be upon this brother tonight. May he find that indwelling, that great Spirit, that great power, that great anointing, Father. I feel you healing tonight. Oh God, touch this brother tonight. May the power of God be here. Heal tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Touch this little one in the name of Jesus tonight, Father. Touch Joe in the name of Jesus. May thy Spirit be upon him tonight. May the power of God be upon Joe. Father, may every yoke be broken. May you fill him with your great Spirit tonight. Let the power of God be here. Let the anointing of God be here. Oh, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, may thy Spirit be here tonight. May you heal tonight. May you deliver tonight. May the power of God be upon this vessel tonight. No, God, I feel you bringing healing. I feel you bringing deliverance tonight, Father. I feel you doing something special in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Grant your blessings, Father. In the name of Jesus tonight, may this sister be blessed. May the power of God be upon her. May thy healing, thy strength, oh, thy glory tonight, move by the glory of God. Let the anointing of God be here. Heal and deliver in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch this vessel as we lay hands upon him tonight. May the power of God be here tonight. May the deliverance be here. May healing be here tonight. I feel faith. Hallelujah. Yea, though thine head is stooped tonight, and though there's a great heaviness within thine heart tonight, and though thine head is bowed low tonight, yea, the Lord has seen thee, and the Lord has seen thy tears, and the Lord has seen thine heaviness. Yea, and thy yoke shall be broken, and the Lord shall lift thee up, and the Lord shall strengthen thee. Yea, and the Lord shall bring unto thee victory, and God shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Thou canst believe tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, may thy Spirit be upon this vessel tonight. May the mighty anointing of God be here. May the power of God be here. May every yoke be broken. Yea, I say unto thee tonight, is it not the Lord thy God that doth give thee a song in the night? Yea, when thine heart is filled with sadness and the gloom of the midnight hours upon thee. Yea, and when there seems to be no hope, the Lord thy God looketh from afar. Yea, and he seeth thee even through the lattice, does he behold thee. Yea, as the beloved of the Lord, and the Lord shall touch thee. Yea, and the Lord shall establish thy going. Yea, and thou shalt rejoice again and sing even as the morning stars that sing together before the world ever was. If thou canst believe, if thou canst believe. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel the wonderful presence of God tonight, don't you? I feel the blessings of God tonight. Hallelujah. I feel the wonderful Spirit of God tonight. Father, this sister that's come night after night, trusting you to heal and trusting you to give strength. Tonight you're going to heal her. You're going to give her strength, Father. Tonight you're going to bless her. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, touch me tonight. In the name of Jesus, with thine anointing, touch me with thy Spirit tonight and heal in the name of Jesus. Cause this sister not to have to use this walker anymore. Oh God, and heal her in the name of the Son of God tonight. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name tonight, Father, touch my sister tonight. May the power of God be upon her tonight. And may the glory of God be with her tonight. And heal her tonight. And deliver her tonight by thy Spirit. Yay, help us to believe, Father. Help us to believe tonight. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name tonight. Moved by thy Spirit, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Sister, you're desiring a word from God, and if you believe, the Lord will speak to you. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name tonight. May thy Spirit be upon this sister. May the power of God be here. May every yoke be broken. Yea, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Touch this little baby. Touch this sister. In the name of Jesus, may the power of God be here tonight to heal and deliver. My Father, heal and save in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister. In the name of Jesus tonight, may thy Spirit be here, to Father. Touch these little ones in the name of Jesus tonight. Touch this sister tonight. May the power of God be upon her. May your Spirit be with her, Jesus. Touch this sister in the name of Jesus tonight. May thy power be here. Lo, God's yoke be broken. Touch this sister. Yea, thou that art stricken with grief, thou hast bowed down thine head also. Yea, thou who hast shed many tears, thou who hast said, no, there seemed to be no hope. Yea, the Lord thy God saith thee, yea, there is hope for thee. Yea, and the Lord shall answer thee. Yea, for the Lord is looking from on high tonight, and the Lord seeth thy faith. Yea, even the faith that thou hast offered, even coming thus far, even to this meeting. Hallelujah. Touch this little sister in Jesus' name tonight. Bless her in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. May thy Spirit be here in the lovely name of Jesus upon this darling little vessel tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Do you love Jesus tonight? I want you to lift your hands up tonight. Let's love Jesus tonight. Let's lift our hands up tonight and love Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap, can we? The Bible says, clap your hands, all of you people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a loud noise unto the Lord. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Hallelujah. Let the Lord's people praise him tonight. Let's praise God just a little bit, can we? Hallelujah.